Here we go. It's hour one of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day. Thanks for making us part of it. General at your service. If you see me, bear me. N.A. There is Broadus, the former Cowboy Scout, the Super Bowl champion in the Pimp Cup at Master Control. Today is one Lucius Alexander. He's fixing to go 4.5 flawless. Rangers baseball is coming up at 6:30. Carter Freeman's coordinating your video. You can watch us at 105.3thefan.com, Twitch, and YouTube. We got football on all the TVs. We got Cowboys joint practice with the Rams starting in just a couple of hours. Brian, how you doing? Who's playing today? How many Cowboys starters are we going to get?
Yeah, I think this is where, and Dawson, thanks for battling through. I know we're going to talk about some things you're dealing with right now, but I appreciate you battling through today.
Doing my best. Sorry my performance isn't quite up to standard today.
It'll be fine. It'll be fine. But yeah, the thing that to me, which will be I think that the coaches on both sides really want to be able to use their guys they have now, their veteran guys, and give everybody a look in these practices, because then that they could control how these practices work. Like for example, last year we were doing this, like Jared Verse screaming off the edge, Guyton doesn't block him, Verse knows not to hit Dak Prescott when he wins. In a game, that might be a different situation. You have to go make a tackle. You have to go make a hit. So the joint practice is a way, if done the correct way, you could control the pace. You could control who plays. You could control the number of plays. And I think that's what you're going to get out of it today.
I mean, by what's in the air post-game, I think all practices in California have been joint practices. At least in the post game, if you ask me. But today is joint with another team. So let me ask you this, Brian. Will they be tackling everybody else 100%?
I think that you'll see it's kind of, they call it that thud period.
Okay.
So it's there probably will be a couple of times where we'll watch some clips and a running back will bust through. And then all of a sudden, a defensive back or somebody or a linebacker will tackle the guy.
Yeah.
I don't think it's like it'll be that, like we always hear, stay up, stay up, stay up. There'll be guys on the ground and stuff like that. They'll try and work through all that. But I don't think it's going to be full-on tackling unless they do some type of goal line period where that will be live. But I don't think initially that you're gonna get the, backs will probably be thudded up, wrapped up, and then if they get taken to the ground, it'll be everybody will say, stay up, stay up, stay up. But that's you don't want to do anything unnecessarily, but the way that it kind of shapes out with the practice sometimes that tackling gets done.
Well, if it does, it does. And I think it'd be good for a lot of the young players. I am worried about, just Dak being in a situation because of how his injuries have come. It was 3 years ago, a strained shoulder trying to air one out, then a strained calf trying to throw
That's
one.
Fair.
So
All
I
fair.
Would keep the competitiveness low for Dak because I don't want him out for week one. But, and then my great players, I really don't want them risking anything. But, hey, with the new offense, I wouldn't mind it too much if we see some run game coordination coming through.
Oh, I absolutely. And, the Rams practice likely different than what the Cowboys practice. And maybe they have some periods and the coaches get together. This is something you get together in the summertime. Shoddy initially talked about he wasn't thinking about working with anybody. But then he was like, maybe I'll get some different scheme looks for my guys. And so you coordinate. The coordinators get together and they say, hey, listen, this is what we want to work on today. And like, okay, will you show us this? And the other team will go, yeah, okay, that's great. We'll show you this if you show us that.
Mm.
And so you coordinate with each team. Like they have like offenses over on one field, defenses on another field. Shoddy being the primary play caller for your offense, he'll be over there. And then Flews will handle everything on the defensive side of the field. But the practice is going on at the same time. It's actually, they're doing the same period, whether it's a team period, red zone period, goal line period, both fields are working at it at the same time. And so it's kind of, you kind of have to, sit up high, kind of watch both of them going at it. But it's coordinated pretty well what everybody needs to see and get out of this practice.
Great opportunity. I think this might be the best time to evaluate how good the Cowboys are, and it'll happen against a very good defensive line and a pretty dang good offense, even though, Garoppolo is an NFC champion quarterback. So, he's one of the better backups. This will be a lot of fun, and again, it starts coming up at 4:00. So I told you last week and then at the airport again that it was getting bigger, mm-hmm. I had this pimple on my back.
Oh, no.
You remember that story?
Is this the life-threatening thing that's going to happen to you right now?
Well, okay, so stay with me.
It's not a cyst?
Yes, I'm positive it's not a cyst now because I've had cysts.
Okay.
I've had cysts, and I've actually had a couple removed. I got one up on my shoulder right now. Okay. So I know the difference between a cyst and a zit and a boil. I Googled boil.
Boil's another one, yeah.
Okay, so...
Did you do the hot cloth thing I recommended?
I was doing hot cloth since I got home Saturday on your recommendation.
Did it draw
a couple of times a day. Yes, it was drawing it out, and I could see that it was approaching ahead. So I get home last night, and she's like, I think you should go to urgent care because this is getting big and very red. It wasn't purple. And there were no red lines in it.
Yeah.
But I said, honey, let's just lance it ourselves. She said, we don't have anything sterile.
Yeah.
I said, well, I have some syringes when I used to do the mail-in testosterone before Men's T Clinic. I think I have a couple up in the attic. I'll go grab one. So I went up to Target and I got the saline and the rubbing alcohol and everything. We lanced that thing. It was disgusting, right? God. It was like, oh, maybe a couple of teaspoons of stuff came out.
Oh, jeez. Did it give off odor?
Not that I was aware of. This is back. Maybe we could get her.
I really didn't even want an answer to that. Really, honestly,
you just thought you'd throw it in there.
Yeah, I thought it was a question to ask, but I really didn't want to know the answer.
There's a morbid curiosity with these things.
Yeah, Dr. Pimple Popper.
So
yeah.
I got a video, and I've actually watched it probably 15 times, just like half disgusted and half fascinated at the same time. But yeah, so. You know, with that in mind, yesterday on my way home, I could tell that I was starting to get a little little sinusy.
Yeah.
Right. So I wake up today with a sore throat. Uh-huh. And so now I got a little bit of a fever.
Oh,
and
geez.
I'm wondering, is that an infection sepsis fever?
Yeah.
Or is that a little bit of a flu fever? Yeah. Right. So then like around the area on my back that it hurts, it still hurts. But then there's some dull pain. More towards my obliques.
No, that's God talking to you. You need to go see somebody about this.
Yeah,
that's God talking to
exactly.
you, bro.
So if I...
So how quickly can we get Blake in here?
If I start...
It's not funny, but yeah.
If you're listening to Blake, come on in.
You need to go see somebody,
come
bro.
Come on in. You know, finish this thing out.
But looking at the back, I feel like the pimple thing is starting to heal, and maybe... Like, you get body aches when you get a little cold or flu, right?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, but I don't know about this fever type of... reaction.
Yeah, the fever something. I actually had to turn the heat up because I was getting the chills in here. See, so at any
get
point,
some penicillin or something like that to run through that system.
You know, I think if I crack a sweat, yes, I need some. I definitely need some penicillin or amoxicillin or something, some kind of antibiotics on board here pretty soon. But I'm thinking I can make it. I'm thinking I'm going to be all right, Brian.
You're too old to be playing around, bro. I'm just saying respectfully, too old to be playing around.
You know what,
Lucius?
It's funny you say that because last night I was watching this TikTok video about your health. And ways you know that it might be the end.
Oh, damn.
If it's things
pimples on your back.
Well, yeah. If it's like something that you feel like one of them was like if you're getting ready to go on a flight or a trip and you have a weird feeling about the trip.
Yeah, I ain't messing around.
Don't go.
Yeah.
I feel that every time.
Don't go. Well, but yeah, I mean, but that's you and I.
This could be it.
But they have other things like, you know, like your heart or something happens with your hands or there's numbness and.
Yeah.
It was all this like if you feel these things, the end is probably near. That's what this whole thing was about. I was like, oh, God, please don't let me have.
Well, I'm sure that's much to the delight of some in our audience.
Yeah.
You know, maybe now's a good time to bring up the Frankel injury attorney text line, see how much people are pulling for this. But, man, last night certainly felt like a possible turning point if I've ever seen one in the baseball diamond.
Crazy.
Hello. Mm-hmm. Don't bleep with me. x3, Joc Pederson hitting the game tire. Was this his moment? We've seen so many great turnarounds this year. Like, every good player has been amongst the worst of the entire season at one point or another. And then all of a sudden, there goes Young, there goes Langford, there goes Simeon, there goes Seager. Right? So why not Joc Pederson now? After 4 months in the injury, I was starting to lose faith. I thought, this dude just doesn't get it, or he's too old. But last night he said after the game, as frustrating as the nights where I've lost sleep over the last couple of months of production, it's irrelevant now. I can't change that. All I can do is focus on the next one right in front of me. So I was wondering if it bothered him, actually.
Yeah.
Because he's so damn cocky. He reminded me of Rugi.
He can say that now that he hit one.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, now I can get over it. I can get past it because I got one in the bag. But if he still didn't have it, he'd be hella frustrated. Because clearly it was frustrating him.
Yeah.
Sleepless nights?
Yes.
Yes. If you go to work and you can't work, you can't produce that work, it bothers you.
Yeah,
I mean, that's just pure swagger and confidence that he hasn't let on more.
Yeah.
You know, because inside was a boiling tempest of frustration, and Jock Peterson let it out last night, and if he does it again tonight,
that boil is on your mind, ain't it?
Dude. It is. I have alleviated the pain significantly. Like, it was getting so bad, I was having to, like, bow my back just driving, right? Or try to get in a weird spot where I was kind of resting on my hips but not letting any of my back touch. I'm starting to get a little bit of a hunch. But now that I've drained probably 70% of the volume in there, it's got a lot more flexibility and movement to it. It's quite a bit more comfortable. Yeah. Aaron Judge expected back from that 10-day trip tonight. Likely to play that 10-day IL trip. He's likely to play a DH. I think he missed 11 games in total, but I guess that would mean Giancarlo Stanton will not be unable to play. He has 10 homers in 32 games, but he is not going to play the field. And Judge is expected to DH this evening. The Yankees 4-7 in that stretch. They're currently on an 18-28 run, so this definitely preceded his absence. They've actually just maintained about the same winning percentage in these 11 games without him. 342 average, though, fourth with 37 home runs. Yeah, I just, if the Rangers can win tonight, can you imagine how exciting day baseball is going to be tomorrow for all the Tolos?
No, I would be, anytime you can find a way to beat up on the Yankees, I don't care if they're good or bad, that's that fan base right there, that's a tough one to deal with. And it's funny to see the reactions of them after the game, the Yankee fans were on social media talking about how they were just the bullpen, the manager, the timely hitting, everything, everything that you can imagine they were complaining about. But give Boch a lot of credit. I mean, he went with the pitch hitter with Jock and that worked out great for him. I mean, that was absolutely just great timing, using your bench to get you back in the game. Great job of, in the extra innings. Or the extra inning, being able to play defense and get out of a jam. It's come up with the big hit. And I know I was very, very critical of Josh Young yesterday. And I'm like, hey, and I asked CY about that, availability and being hurt and how can you count on and that. And, nice for him. I mean, a lot of folks reminded me that I was that critical of him. But, hey, if I'll be critical of him every day if it means they find a way to kind of get him going, hitting home runs like that and clutch hits and things. But that's a great win. The Rangers clearly, after what happened in Seattle, needed that one badly.
Yeah, no doubt, man. So high drama here as we're inside 50 games or so until the end of this season. A lot of people sounded off here. A lot of people say. Yeah, saying go get it checked out, and could be that staph infection type of stuff.
Yeah, that's what I was.
So I had an ingrown hair in this exact spot like 8 years ago, and it popped, right? And I've always felt like
they can really surprise you sometimes.
It was still down in there, so I don't think it's anything maybe other than an infection. But I appreciate everybody's concern in their text. So Astros won last night as well. They remain 4.5 ahead. Rangers are 1.5 behind Seattle and New York in the second and third wild card spots. So a win tonight would put you just a half game back. And when it comes to facing Bombers, it's not getting any easier because the Rangers are going to have to do it again next series. The Phillies in town, Kyle Schwarber hitting two last night, pushing him to 40 for the season. The Phillies fans hitting it with chance of MVP right as he hit a grand slam.
Yeah.
So that was a lot of fun. Okay, what team would you most want to trade Micah Parsons for if we go there? I think it's got to be the Raiders. I've been thinking about this quite a bit. Like,
you want the picks. You want the high picks, right? Is that what you're kind of thinking?
Yeah.
I think if you're going to do it where it turns into multiple ones, you want the team that possibly has the worst path to having a successful season.
Yeah.
You'd love to trade Micah Parsons. Okay, I'm saying you'd love to. You would love to trade a player to another team. And we had this problem when we traded a pick to Buffalo way back in the day, and they drafted J.P. Lossman, the quarterback out of Tulane. And we were thinking we made the trade at the time. This is the one we ended up getting Marcus Spears for. So we had the 11th pick, and then we thought that Buffalo, when we made the trade, that Buffalo's pick was going to be potentially a top 12 pick. But it ended up being number 20. So they were kind of outside, that line. And And so it worked out, you know, for us because we got Spears, but we were thinking that maybe that pick was going to be a lot higher. So if you're going to make a move, you always try and trade it with a team that potentially could finish worse in the standings. Now, Seattle made the trade with us for Joey Galloway, and we gave them the 18th pick. And then our next pick that they got from us was number 7.
Ouch.
So you went from giving them 18, which is, okay, cool. And then maybe you could have made that pick 24. And then, so you give them 18 and 24 for Joey Galloway. Okay, that's a decent trade. But 18 and 7, that's a horrible trade. That is a horrible trade.
Especially as we're getting ready for the Dirty Dozen debut, and we know Cowboys history. It's like, how important is a draft class?
Yeah.
It's massive. If you're giving up 1-1, it better be for a guy that is pushing you over the top right now.
Right.
And I don't think that would apply to the Raiders, but maybe they're desperate enough. Maybe Pete Carroll has enough pull that he'd want to go for it right now. And it does maybe create a little path to victory for them.
You could probably think about I don't particularly think that trading him to the Commanders would be a good situation. I don't think trading him to Philadelphia would be a good situation.
He'll get back with Dan Quinn and shine all over us.
Yeah, bro. I just don't see
he'd
that.
He'd be hump dancing out there on the star and everything. Yeah. Come on, bro.
No question.
Doing the lion and whatnot and peeing.
Yeah. I would try and target teams that you feel like might be talent poor, and those picks end up to be better picks for you when it's all said and done.
Yeah, you never know. Things change so quickly in the NFL, and we're about to see it again, where some contenders have horrible seasons and some teams picked to finish at the bottom are going to rise to the top. And where do the Rams fit in that? I think the Rams could have a great year, and they could end up winning this NFC West. Today they did a deal with their running back, very team-friendly. They just seem to have a lot of the components of team building and coaching figured out better than the competition. Okay, we'll get the G-Bag of the Day champion in here. We'll get Wolchuk's top 10 at 220, and we're back with more sports here on The Fan. All right, welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan, and we have the top 10 at 220 coming up in just a minute. Segment's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214-817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels, the go-to car and truck wreck decision in Dallas. 817 says, trading Micah anywhere is a poor decision. Yeah, no doubt. There's just, the idea of trading him is crazy. I just thought if it came to that, what would be the best scenario? And I think it comes down to, like, what's the worst team that would want to trade for him? That's where I'm starting,
because
I want these picks to hit in the top 10. If you're picking in the 20s, there's no way you're going to get a player as good as Micah Parsons. Both those guys put together won't be as good as Micah Parsons. So it's a bad idea, especially with a quarterback who's over 30. You have George Pickens for this year. Like, there should be a strong push inside that front office to make sure they're doing everything in their power to try to get this thing done this year, okay? And I think that means adding corners and maybe another defensive lineman, although Perrion Winfrey is balling.
Yeah.
Can't wait to see him in joint practice coming up at 4 o'clock. Into the Pimp Cup we go. Here's Lucius with the G-Bag of the Day champ.
Yeah, man. G-Bag of the Day, we do it every day, 5:30, replay the champ right about here. My name is L.A. Lucius Alexander. You can hit me up at Lucky Lucius P. Day 2 for this champion audio. Let's go to the RJ and Choppy show. Which one of these fools is Chop? Which one of you? Here, host Sean Sharif crashed out on a caller. His name is Tolo Ernesto.
Tolo Ernesto. Tolo Ernesto.
Live on Sean and RJ.
Yo, what's up, guys? First time calling, man. It feels good to finally talk to you guys. How you guys doing?
Yo,
doing great. Well. Thanks for listening.
So here's my thing. You guys got to stop letting Steven off the hook, man. I mean, Steven and Jerry, you guys are going to need to realize all this could have been avoided. If you would have signed Dak 2 years ago, we wouldn't be in this situation. CeeDee Lamb a year before, we wouldn't be in this situation. You guys got to stop letting Jerry off the hook.
Do you listen to this radio station or show ever?
Yes.
Okay, well, you sound ignorant. Like, because we do it, dude. Are you kidding me? Every single, did you hear G-Bag last week? Did you hear Gavin Dawson last week? Did you hear us with Jerry last year? Turn him down. I can't stand these tweets. And don't say you listen when you don't. You just expose yourself. I dealt with one listener over the weekend who kept saying, yeah, I wish you'd do this. Did you hear Clarence Hill tell Jerry Jones you're being disingenuous to his face? Come on now. Like, just admit you don't. I'd rather you admit you don't listen than lie. It's BS. Stop. It's ignorant. What?
I was just saying, he said he was talking about the listeners who just called in.
What?
I said he was talking about the listeners.
I thought he was talking to us.
No, he said he was talking to the toe.
Ernesto, are you talking about us or the listeners?
I'm talking about the listeners, dude. I'm not talking about you guys.
Put him down.
Way to go.
That's a Jerry cutting Todd off. Todd, no, Todd, you're not going to answer your question.
Ernesto.
You stop talking.
I accept my nomination for G-Bag of the day, week, month, and I apologize.
Apologize.
He did. I don't think he made it clear on the call, you know? How did Bobby learn that?
I think the guy Ernesto was going with the flow of the conversations and the callers and everybody picking it up, and he was like responding to people on air and not the host on air. Yeah. Shout out to Sean though. We do it, dude. Yeah.
I was listening to see when he chimed in with it. Sean was pulling one of my numbers. He was interrupting the guy.
Yeah.
And the guy says, "I'm talking about the Tolos."
Oh.
And Sean never heard that.
Okay.
Like, he got drowned out. I was listening, like, when did this guy say it? Because he didn't initially say it. It was when I'm talking about the Tolos.
Yeah.
And Sean, like, you're an idiot. You know,
stop. It's ignorant. What?
I was just saying, he said he was talking about the listeners who just called in.
Yeah. Yeah.
What?
What? He's talking to the Tolos. What? I love you guys.
Well, salute to Ernesto, and thanks to him for turning it on and leaving it on. It's time now for Woljug's Top 10 at 2:20. And Zach and Eric out the next couple of days. I think Eric's going to return on Friday.
Thursday, I believe.
Eric's going to return on Thursday?
Thursday, yeah. Okay. Yeah, and we're on the road, right? We're doing the Fan Phenom stuff. And
that's
then
right.
We got day baseball tomorrow, so hopefully you get to feel a little bit better for that.
What day is that you guys going to be out?
Thursday.
Thank
Saxy,
you.
Is that where we're going to be? Saxy, I think, is what we're
talking
about?
An off day for the Rangers as well, so that's a full 5 hours.
Full 5 hours, yeah. Mm. So,
looking forward to that. Got to drive to Kansas City Thursday night, actually, after the show.
Who does?
I do.
You need to go see to a care now.
Yeah.
After the show, immediately.
You think so?
Yeah, and get a amoxicillin martini.
I mean, so Cassandra, she works at a doctor's office. It's a pediatrician spot. I said, could I like send her a picture of this and have her write me a prescription or whatever it's called for, you know, the antibiotics?
Yeah, you need a amoxicillin martini. That's what I was going to ask, though, about your girl. She popped that boil.
She did.
Oh, they're so morbid. They get into things like that.
Yes. Yeah. She
I couldn't help.
She was laughing and vomiting, or, you know, making the sound
gagging.
Like she was going to vomit. Yeah. And I was like, you know, you like this.
Yeah.
There's a part of you that likes this. Yeah.
Foreplay for this man.
But, you know, I think I'm good. I think I'm good. But what I don't want to do is go to one of these urgent care spots and have them send me through the $600
Because they will do that. You just need some amoxicillin to clean that up and go on about your life. Maybe a doctor to look over it once to make sure it's something not weird.
Yeah. You know, I figured like the teledoc could do this.
Yeah.
You know,
like
I don't need to go to some place where they're like, oh, you have insurance? Cool. Let us ring up a $1,200 bill. We have to eliminate this. And we have to eliminate that. We're going to need an MRI to make sure it's not, you know, they're going to do that thing.
Shout out
to
the dentist.
I mean, when I was growing up, you could get in and out of the doctor for $15-$20 copay, deductible or whatever. And around 15 years ago, it just all of a sudden went to like, this is going to be $300. This is going to be $600, you know? And I don't know. So I guess I've become that old man that doesn't want to go to the doctor
because
it's a pain in the ass. It's going to cost too much money.
Yeah.
And I feel like a lot of it's a scam, you know? I've had this this what's called a ganglion cyst in my wrist 4 times as a kid.
They cracked that with a book, I think.
Right, they used to crack it with a book.
Yeah.
That would be the approach with
gotcha,
it.
Bitch.
So, like, the last time I had it, it stuck around for like a month. I finally went to the doctor. They shot it with cortisone twice, and it never came back. So here comes young Abby, 14 years old, obvious ganglion cyst on her wrist. Take her to the doctor. I'm like, yep, you know, I've had it. Her Nana's had it.
I know exactly what
it's
it is.
It's hereditary. Yeah, they're like, oh, we can't shoot it with cortisone without knowing because it might disrupt the growth plate and then her hand wouldn't grow properly. And I'm like, and what are the chances of that? You know, probably less than 1%.
Bro, just change the oil, bro.
You know, the doctor got the attitude with me and I'm like, this
just
isn't doctor attitude
just
for
the oil. Right? I can't believe you made it here.
Right. This isn't doctor attitude like I'm the professional. Let me do my job. This is doctor attitude like I need this $1,200 So if you want to be seen by me, you're going to agree to this MRI before we actually resolve what you know it is. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like every time I go to the doctor, what I'm sensing is a salesperson trying to capitalize and not like accurate medicine. And it sucks. It's probably going to end up killing me, you know, because I can't trust these doctors anymore.
Can't trust the doctor.
It's become such a game to maximize
upsales.
The profit off of you. And, you know, until you hit that deductible, it's a massive check. Yeah. You know, that's you're like, okay, this better be real serious, right? If I'm going over, I would call it $300 for the doctor.
Sure.
It better be something that I can't just tough out. Yeah. Okay, here we go, Wolchuk's top 10, the 10 Dallas Cowboys players making strong impressions in the first half of camp.
All right.
Number one, this is off the Athletic, John Mishota, CeeDee Lamb. This is...
That's his number one guy?
Yeah. Well, okay. I don't know. I don't know if he put it in any order, but... I mean, I think what's different mostly with CeeDee Lamb this year is his leadership.
I think CeeDee has been outstanding. I actually think Pickens has been better.
Wow, look at that. And Pickens is number two on the list. What's been better about Pickens?
I think Pickens has found a way, and maybe it's because I've never seen George Pickens play live, and I got really excited about, okay, here's a guy, they put him on the same side, and he finds ways to like separate. All we talked about was vertical player, vertical player, vertical player. He does so much more than that. You give him a competent quarterback that can throw him the ball, he was going to make plays on the move and things like that. That's when we had a chance to interview him. I just feel like that those are the things he's doing better. The crossing routes, the in cuts, the red zone stuff. He's been really, really good on that stuff. And so I'm anxious today to see how the Rams, maybe we'll have some one-on-one stuff, some really good clips. But I'm interested to see how he works against the Rams, because he's been a problem for the Cowboy defensive backs.
Yeah, I just want to get the ball in his hands running across the formation. Throws.
You got the right idea. If you're going to do that, that's a really good plan.
I mean, somebody mentioned on Twitter today, I think it might have been Dan Rogers, that he feels like these Cowboys are going to be so good in the yard after catch department that it's going to be a really good offense, really efficient offense. It might look like Dak doesn't have the depth of target that you would like. But if you don't have to push depth of target because your guys are freaking yak monsters, there's no point in it.
Where they are making some headway is these quick screens and stuff. You know, when they get the ball, it's like they fake it and then they play action that thing. And now that ball is going to the outside on the screen and it's one move and then gone. Just make an adjustment. Then boom, beat the defensive backs, and they've had some success running some of these quick screens with these guys.
Okay, we go to Kaiir Elam as the third player on the list, the top 10 most impressive players at camp so far. What do you think they have in this guy, Brian?
I tell you what, there's questions about him. Like, has he always been a practice player, and then he gets in games, and the technique and the ability kind of falls apart? So far, so good. I think he's one of these guys that everybody, when he was traded for, everybody was kind of like, oh, damn, you know, this guy can't play. They all watched the clips. They saw the Kansas City game. They saw him getting beat and all those things. But there's some things about his game that we saw from Florida that have been translating into. He was at Buffalo where the coach really didn't like him. The GM liked him. And now he gets a fresh lease on life. He's working with the secondary that the coach really likes him. He looks comfortable playing. He's covered Pickens. He's covered Lamb. Anybody on the outside, whoever's come his direction. And I know I saw nine practices, had three interceptions. You know, so that just tells you that he's around the ball. He can read, he can react, and he can make plays.
I hadn't heard this thing that maybe he's just a practice player, though.
Yeah, there's people that just think that maybe that he's a guy that looks really good in practice, and then you get him in the game, and he kind of falls apart.
Donovan Ezeraku is up next, number four, top 10 Cowboys that have stood out in Oxnard so far.
He might be number two when it's all said and done.
What do you think is a good goal for him? Like,
I kind of felt like that if he had like somewhere between 6 to 8 sacks, and I felt like this is Vach Lombardi and I were talking about it on our show, is that it was kind of like, well, where do you think? And because Vach was saying, well, remember when Dorrance Armstrong, and he had, when we were going through when they were second in the league in sacks, and we were naming all the guys that were part of that, you know, you just guy had 6, guy had 8. This guy legitimately, he could have just 8 sacks. I said 6, 7 sacks. I'll give him 8 with the possibility. If you tell me that Fowler had 10 last year, think this guy's a better pass rusher than Fowler.
He did have 16 and a half last year at Boston
Dawson, he's got to feel loose. He's got a real feel for how to come off the ball and how to get underneath defenders. He was talking about it when we interviewed him. Remember, he was saying, hey, it's a little bit different than college football because they have more tools in the tool belt kind of thing. And, like, they'll show you a hand, and then they'll get underneath the hand. You know, he says that's kind of where he's trying to learn. But he's a smart kid. He's going to figure out on a weekly basis who he's playing against and how to break them down.
Yeah, I mean, Ezeraku is the rookie I'm most excited about. I think Booker's going to be solid, but I think Ezeraku has the chance to be a star.
Yeah.
And if he does that along with Micah Parsons, this defense could get really good in a hurry. And he was top three at his position last year, run defense in all of college. Yeah. Jaden Blue's number five. Is he the clear number one now, or how would you?
I think Sanders, to me, if you just want to say the veteran guy, Sanders has shown to me that he has that ability to he could press the hole and see the cut. You know, press the hole. Boom, I need to make a cut backside. It's a BB block. It's a Booker block. Oh, wait a minute. Steel hook the guy here. We can, you know. I think Sanders is a little bit better doing that. Where Blue has shown up, guys, is when they put the pads on. He's been a much better ball carrier with the pads on than it was with helmets and T-shirts on.
Okay, how about Trayshon Holden? Is he going to make a case to actually be on the team?
When you add Pickens, now everybody takes a click down the food chain. You know? Yeah. And so
Mingo, Turpin.
Yeah, how many do you keep? Do you keep five? Do you keep six? There's a battle at six when it comes to, like, Flannoy, Brooks, those guys. So he's shown up ahead. The guy that kind of had a really good day yesterday was Tolbert. But we've talked about quiet days. It's typical Tolbert. Have a really good practice, and then now be quiet for 2 days.
See, Tolbert's the guy that I could see maybe preferring Holden over, because you need Mingo for his size and his run blocking. You need Turpin for the return game and all the gadget stuff. Like, Tolbert's the guy that if you're looking to only keep five, that I'd be interested in having Holden instead of. But, I mean, Tolbert had such a productive year last year. That'd be hard.
He did. And that's the thing that the argument is always about consistency, and consistency in practice and consistency in games. You could show up, you could be great for 1 week, and then disappear for three. That's an issue. Coach talked about that yesterday.
Kevontae Turpin, number six. We've talked a lot about him. Maris Leofau, the second-year linebacker.
Yeah.
Coming in at seven.
How about that? Yeah.
He's one of the starting three, right?
Yeah, it's funny. They play, because Dallas runs the ball so much, and they play heavy personnel, that they play base defense, so he's the third linebacker right now for you.
Malik Hooker coming in at eight. One of the better run defenders on this team, and he's been Johnny on the spot in the run and pass game so far on defense.
Yeah, the thing with Hooker, though, you got to be careful, because when he does come forward, he has a tendency to miss.
Does he?
And so, yeah, that he's shown up because he's defended the ball better. There's been times where they've put him in coverage where all of a sudden you get shoddy schemes on down around the goal line. They are inside the red zone. Shoddy schemes, Lamb across the formation, and now Hooker's in coverage. They did it with Hooker. They did it with Lamb, and they did it with Pickens. Both times Hooker gave up a touchdown on the play. Okay. So you got to – That's something you got to be aware of about him.
Yeah, I think it's a testament to really what you said about this whole team struggling at run defense, that he actually missed less tackles than a lot of his teammates.
Oh, no, it's something that you just got to know, that he will occasionally come flying to the ball, and next you know he's right past the ball.
Hunter Lipke, last guy on the list, says he's trying to do whatever the coach is telling him to do. Is he going to have a big role, or is this?
Huge role. There's some ideas and principles I believe they've stolen from the San Francisco scheme, what Shanahan does when they call trade, when they take two guys and trade them from right to left, and then they took a motion with Lipke and move him to the trade side. So you got three blockers on one side. San Francisco is really big on this. When they try and do it with Juszczyk, they'll motion him, and then they'll snap the ball, and they'll have him at the point of attack, blocking right there as a move guy. Hunter Lipke's going to get a lot of opportunities to do those kinds of things.
Okay, Cowturd on Shoddy. How much does this matter? It's coming up next. Rams-Cowboys joint practice will start at 4 o'clock local time, and we'll be all over it breaking down the big plays and developments, and we're back here in the nation. Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. G-Bag Nation, 105.3 The Fan. Cowboys-Rams joint practice coming up at 4 o'clock. We'll take a look at Ranger stuff coming up at 3 o'clock. Post-trade deadline reality for all 30 MLB teams. How you feeling about your Texas Rangers here after last night's big win? That was exciting. I did post a picture on social media at Gavin Dawson on Twitter of this this bursted pimple on my back because people are saying, no, that sounds like staph infection.
Oof.
So are you saying that it's not a pimple and not an ingrown hair? It's actually a staph infection that's come up on my back somehow? There was no cut. Like, that'd be super, super random. But I am open-minded, and with a day game tomorrow, Brian, I think I'm probably looking at waking up and going to the doctor.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea. I was thinking maybe after the show.
Yeah, I can't believe you're putting it off again.
Yeah.
They close it out, what, at 7, I mean, 8?
We got Rangers-Yanks at 7.
You know, okay. They close about 8, 9, the care nows?
Urgent care centers?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I figured they'd be open later in that, but... Yeah. You know, it says be aware of sweating or nausea, yeah, or throwing up, like as clear signs that it's, you know, a bigger infection that requires urgent service. So I think I'm good. You know, I think I can take a wait and see approach.
Famous last words.
Yeah.
I think I'm good. Right.
Yeah.
Come on, beer real quick.
I mean, what's the worst that could happen in over 9 hours of sleep? Okay. Cowturd on Shoddy. Does this matter? I have respect for Colin. You know, as far as being a professional, yes, I think that's important. But is a backwards visor, like, what year is this? I think growing up in 1991, that might have led SportsCenter, you know, a backwards visor discussion, yeah, and a debate. As far as being professional, I do think it's important to be professional, but I just think most of these are just personal style. You know, and I want to wear my hat backwards. I want to wear sunglasses inside. Like, there's nothing objectively unprofessional or rude about that.
They beat Tony up over it.
They
Tony
did.
Romo, yeah. It was his shoulders and his hat at the same time. Shoulders, yeah, all slumpy. Yeah. Hat was backwards. He's like, this guy doesn't care. And he threw 4 interceptions a game.
I think there's definitely be something to said for body language. As a quarterback, you want to, you know, project confidence. But yeah, you know, I just think that there are different flavors for what you think is cool, and as long as it's like hygienic, you got a decent haircut, you've shaved at some point in the last couple 2-3 days, I think you're good to go, Brian. That's my opinion on it.
Yeah, I just, you know, to me, training camp is one of those times where you might wear the same clothes every day, the same look.
You're in the
day.
Lab.
You're grabbing, you know, there's like when you go in your room. Or maybe in the locker room, maybe in your locker, you've got 3 or 4 hats and you got a visor on top and you just, or maybe you're in your room and you got 2 hats and a visor and you just grab it, you throw it on and go, but you got the same shirt on you wore yesterday. You got the same shorts and, you know, it's training camp practice. You know, if you wear a hat backwards, it's okay. You know, just, I mean, I've worked with coaches that always wore their hats backwards. Hell, remember how Dan Quinn. Dan Quinn's a head coach on the sidelines with an NFC championship game with a hat on backwards. Is that the reason he lost? No. You know, he just ran into a good team there in Philadelphia.
Well, sometimes, like, you know, Stallone and Over the Top, you need an energy shift.
Yeah,
and flipping that hat backwards, you know,
I've worked with plenty of guys that have just always worn their hats a certain way, but it's training camp. And, you know, and so... Like, they say, the league always tries to encourage you to, like, okay, the league won't let you wear, like, a coat and tie on the sidelines anymore. You know, they won't let you go with the old Tom Landry look or, you know, when those coaches used to wear the skinny tie with
they
the white.
They won't let you?
No, you can't. You can't.
Why not? Like, I like the training camp look. You're in the lab right now.
Yeah.
I'm going to grow my hair out. This beard's going to look raggedy. We're trying to figure these plays out. I'm trying to see who's going to be on this roster.
Exactly.
It's tough.
It is tough. And, you know.
It's not time for me to dress up, but they should be able to be fly as they want to on the sideline during the game. I don't see what.
Yeah, the league.
Why even police that?
Because they want you to, buy the hoodies.
Oh, the merch.
They want you to buy the merch. They don't. I mean, matter of fact, Mike Nolan was like, his father was a coach for the 49ers for a number of years. And he used to wear a tie on the sidelines, and Mike wanted to honor his dad at San Francisco doing the same thing. And the league was like, wait a minute, we got to make it, you know, they made him jump through hoops just to do that. So, yeah, it's...
They had to wait till Reebok made a suit.
Okay, you have to wear a certain tie, and you have to wear a certain shirt, you have to wear... But it's all about the merch. They don't... And if you're turning their merch backwards, they probably feel like that it's not getting exposure is another thing that they're dealing with.
Okay. All right.
Or making your merch look cool, but you probably got a great point. No, we want to see these logos.
They want to see the logos. Yeah. They want to see the hat. They don't want to see the back of the hat with the band. They don't want to see that. They want to see the front, and somebody's going to say, hey, I'm going to buy me one of those Cowboys visors. That thing looks cool. Well, yeah. You could go to the pro shop and get one. You can wear it back. You can wear it backwards if you want when you get it. But the league is really particular about that.
Every square inch of that sideline, including the players, is a potential for a billboard, right?
Towels.
Yeah.
The towels. Like, yeah, I remember the whole thing with like those, you know, Gatorade has got some really cool towels now. They used to be just regular old towels, but now they've got the team logo on them. They've got the color. They've got Gatorade on them. I mean, they're actually like you would never think about taking a towel. But like, if I could take a couple of those Gatorade towels with the logos on them,
oh yeah, I love those.
Those make good outdoor cooking towels, you know.
I love a good playoff towel, you know, like the ones we got from the Rangers run in 23.
These are like big. These are like bath towels that you could get, like get, you know, on the sidelines that they put over the shoulder.
Fly.
Yeah,
yeah. I want them big green ones. I know what you're talking about with the logos all over. It's like a step and repeat.
Yeah, they've got them now where each individual team has their own towel. So, like, on the sidelines, like, the Packers have their towels, the Cowboys have their towels, so you got to grab me a couple of those
Do numbers if they sell those.
They do.
Oh, they do they?
They do, yeah.
I could imagine Cowboys fans just, you know, having those as their beach towels.
They're going to sell everything on that sideline. They're going to sell everything on that sideline.
Well, I mean, I guess if there was an inkling of unprofessionalism in Brian Schottenheimer, like a nepotism storyline, this guy doesn't deserve it, and he's out there being unprofessional with his visor on backwards, maybe then I'd have a little bit more appetite for the discussion. But this guy's killing it, Brian.
I wanted to ask
Coach of the Year.
No, he's definitely got the swag. I wanted to ask Lucius this question.
Coach of the Year, relax, bro. We just started.
I'm calling it.
We just started.
Lucius,
you went at some point.
I mean, Lucius, prisoner of the moment, my man.
5 years of listening to McCarthy like press conferences.
Yeah,
and stuff? Okay, you've had to listen to every one of Schottenheimer's because he drops a cuss word every single time.
Yeah,
every single time.
S word is his favorite one.
S word is his favorite one. And I was going to ask Lucius, how many press conferences have you listened to entirely?
Every single one, he drops an S at least twice in there.
Yeah,
at the very end of it.
So usually, like McCarthy, you just let the thing go. You're like, I don't care. He's not going to say anything.
This man is struggling to breathe. He ain't going to give you too many words.
Yeah, but I do feel like maybe they won't win enough this year, but eventually in the next couple, 2-3 years, they're going to win enough. And I think Shoddy's vibes and the way that he interacts with everybody, like he's going to talk to reporters. Everybody's going to learn to like him. They're going to get an up-close view once the season starts of everything that goes on with him.
Yeah, he's doing a really smart thing because what happens when you become a likable guy in the media, they don't go after you as much.
Nope.
So he's doing a really bright thing doing that.
Yeah, I think he's thought of everything.
Oh, he's trying.
Yeah, and obviously he hasn't, but if something comes up, he'll spend significant time about it. He says he's an elite communicator. I think that's maybe the number one skill I'd be looking for, of course, after knowing football. Being an elite communicator, it pluses everything up from the way that you interact, what you can convince Jerry of, talking with your other coaches, talking with your players. You know, the benefits of this are pretty outstanding. So I think, and you talk about strong takes, but how about this? I think Jerry finally found his Landry. That's how much I think is Shoddy.
I think to me, I was just thinking if he could be a...
Stunned you, didn't I?
Yeah, you did.
It's a little early for that.
Is the fever?
But I wanted to call my shot.
Fever kicking in?
Is that the fever or the cold medicine?
Yeah, is that what's
I'm not quite sure.
It's something.
Does staph infection present as cold? Because if it does, then I'm out of here. All right? Because that's what I feel like right now.
Yeah.
I got a giant pimple on my back, and I feel like I've come down with a cold in the last 24 hours. I think they're totally unrelated.
Yeah, Blake, if you got nothing coming on, come on in, and we'll do some radio.
I'm telling you, if you Google it, you probably have everything in the world that you don't want if you Google it.
Well, there's a first. I am going to chat GPT it here at the break, but I feel like a first responder might have just heard my Brian Schottenheimer take and decided they need to come by a 75.
I will say this, though. If Schottenheimer's a quarter as good as his father, you'll have a successful coach. I think his dad was a really good coach.
Yeah, and I think what last week showed me is he's got enough of Marty, right? He's got enough of the tough son of a gun to lead a group of men without, you know, being looked at as a pushover or too much of a fun guy. Top stories at 3, post-trade deadline reality for all 30 MLB teams, and we're back with the Nation.